WHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report, tears and prayers for a conservative activist, 31-year-old father of two, Charlie Kirk, who was shot to death on a college campus in Utah.
Kind of numb because he was only 31 and had so much life ahead of him.
Really just didn't even believe it. Just stopped what I was doing and began to pray.
Kirk, a close ally of President Trump's, was killed in front of a crowd of thousands of students. The manhunt for a suspect ongoing. CBS's Carter Evans.
Law enforcement sources told CBS News there was just one shot and that it appeared to have been fired from the roof of the nearby Losee Center. That's where video posted on social media showed a person in dark clothing running right after the shooting.
House Majority Leader Steve Scalise, who survived a politically motivated attack, remembered Kirk on CBS Mornings.
Even if people disagreed with him, he wasn't calling them names. He would engage and talk about the differences, and we've got to get back to that.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The River Riders Bike Share Fall Community Bike Ride took place on Wednesday night with Wood County Sheriff Sean Becker. This fun community event started about 4 years ago when Hannah Wendell Scott was just getting started with Wood County Health.
I was actually an intern, and we wanted to try to get some usage on the bikes and bring people together around something fun and gets you outside and active. And we thought it'd be really fun to partner with Sheriff Becker and kind of bring him into the fold, and it lets people get to see everyone in a different light.
Sheriff Becker said he was all for the idea.
Like, hey, what a great way to get out in the community and enjoy one of our parks, too. I think that's one of the things people don't get the opportunity to see are all of our parks that we have in the county. And this is one of the, in my opinion, one of the best ones because you got a bike trail that goes all the way around it. You have a campground, a couple beaches, just a great way to experience the park and, you know, yeah, with the community.
The cost for a River Rider's bike is $1 per mile, and they'll be available at least through October, maybe even longer if the weather is nice. It also doesn't matter which location you get the bike from. You can return it to any of the three locations throughout Wisconsin Rapids.
We have the one here at Lake Wazicha at White Sands Beach. We have one on the West Grand Avenue Bridge, right where the farmers market is located in Rapids. And then we also have one at McMillan Memorial Library.
Sheriff Sean Becker said other law enforcement officers join this fun community event when they can. But Wisconsin Rapids Police Chief Daniel Hostins couldn't make it this year.
We've had a few join with us. Previous police chief Mel Peterson would always come. And this year the current chief couldn't for whatever reason. And I'm going to have to talk to him about that.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers head for home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball.
The Brewers returning from their road trip to begin a three-game series tomorrow night against the Cardinals at American Family Field. The crew losing again 6-3. The Rangers' Jake Berger hit two home runs. Pat Murphy.
They got every big hit. You know, Berger was in AAA earlier in the season, and he hits two big homers. You know, we get 11 hits. We don't get the timely two-out hit.
NFL, the Packers host the Washington Commanders tonight, led by Dan Quinn, who was once the head coach of the Falcons, where Matt LaFleur was the quarterback's coach. LaFleur on his time there in Atlanta under Quinn.
It was invaluable to me. Like, I'm pretty certain I wouldn't be standing right here right now if it weren't for being with DQ for those 2 years in Atlanta. And just changed my whole mindset and how much fun you can have within the building, yet still get down to business. It was a great environment.
That's Matt LaFleur. I'll have a full recap later tonight after the game from Lambeau Field with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some areas of fog through mid-morning, otherwise partly sunny skies and a beautiful September day with highs in the mid-70s. For tonight, patchy fog developing late, otherwise partly cloudy, low of 52. Warmer on Friday, mostly sunny, a high of 79. Right now, it's 60 degrees.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin travels to Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
From the assassination of Charlie Kirk to shootings in Colorado, how do we as Wisconsinites take care of our own mental health as we sort through the news? All that and remembering 9/11 next time. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06, and nice to have you back here up north on this Thursday morning, September 11th, 2025. We'll be talking later this hour with Brian Kennedy, the mayor of Glendale in Milwaukee County, all about running for local office. He's the national head of a group called Democratic Municipal Officers, and they work to recruit and train the next generation of candidates who serve as mayors and village presidents and city councils and town boards and things like that. So if that interests you, or maybe you're thinking about recruiting a friend to do that, then give a listen later this hour. And of course, if you can't stick around, then we invite you to listen to us as a podcast. Head over to Spotify and follow us that way, and you can catch up with shows anytime that you like. It's a very foggy morning out here on Lake Wissota, and we are definitely not the only place. A dense fog advisory will be in effect until 9 o'clock for a big chunk of the western half of Wisconsin. Basically draw a line up from Richland Center through Toma up to Neillsville, Medford, Phillips, Ironwood, Michigan, and Ashland. And all those points west of that line are in a dense fog advisory with low visibility, visibility a quarter mile or less in some places. And so if you're out there driving, go at a slower speed, use your headlights, and leave plenty of distance ahead of you. And the temperatures, of course, are going to be warming up nicely, as Brittany told us before she began her long weekend. And we have local forecast updates throughout the day on your local Civic Media station. All right, we were talking about video game consoles a little bit earlier, and because it's the anniversary of the Atari 2600 from 1977, and Alicia already told us that she played on a Nintendo, and Tony had Sega, but there was also a Dreamcast as well. And so we were wondering if there were consoles that you remember or consoles that you would recommend if people were going to be, you know, replacing what they have or buying a console for the first time, because frankly everything has come up a step from the Atari 2600. So we're recruiting and seeking out your recommendations and your memories on video game consoles this morning. On a much more serious note, however, is I know you think I'm going to be talking directly about yesterday's murder of political agitator Charlie Kirk in Utah, and we've spoken about that in the last hour, and about violence not being the answer, and that violence is not politics, even though some people mistake it for that, that there is no good political violence. It encourages other people to either engage in violence or to speak in violent tones, like the congressman from Western Wisconsin. Derek Van Orden has been on a tear overnight since the murder of Charlie Kirk in Utah, not in a good way. And I can't read all of his tweets because of the swearing that's in there. But there's a lot of tweets where he says the gloves are off and threatening things like federal funding. In one tweet, let's see, from 9 hours ago or so, he says, "We will be making sure that any institution that celebrates political violence will not receive a single penny of federal funding. Gloves are off." And then there's one where he refers to dirty scumbag reporters who are directly culpable for Charlie Kirk's murders. Somebody asks, how do you coexist with people that want to murder you? And Derek Van Orden's response is, you don't. In other words, in his mind, the de-escalation comes at the point of a gun, apparently. And this is a man with military experience, and I don't doubt all kinds of access to weaponry. There's one where he says he takes shots at Rebecca Cook and Congressman Mark Pocan, saying people like them would have fit perfectly into the Soviet Union. They think they're smarter than everyone and that the government should tell you how to live your life. Okay. Here's a couple more here where he simply says the gloves are off as he reposts others. You've got actor James Woods, who puts a lot of extreme and violent language out there. And he says, don't call it gun violence. It's Democrat violence. Which Derek Van Orden reposted and said, correct. He refers to disgusting the chaos that broke out on the floor of the House of Representatives. The chaos that broke out when fellow Republican Lauren Boebert of Colorado insisted on a spoken prayer rather than a moment of silence. In other words, she wanted special treatment for Charlie Kirk compared to all of the other moments of silence that were held for victims of all political stripes. Most of them innocent victims. But Lauren Boebert wanted something different. And when people disagreed, needless to say, there was a woman from Florida, a Republican, who started shouting F-bombs at the Democrats. Just not one of the more graceful moments on the floor of the U.S. House. Here's another one about Derek Van Orden saying the gloves are off and these horrible vultures claiming to be journalists must be held accountable. Here's one where he says, in response to somebody, F these bags of scum. Let's see. He takes a, there's another, the gloves are off. Here's one where Nicole Wallace from MSNBC speaks about how political violence has often been committed by Republicans and people who consume conservative media. And Derek Van Orden puts it up and says, this is the problem. This garbage is the problem. Here's one where he says of another podcast host, I would love to have coffee with this piece of, and then uses the S word there. Once again, we get another shot at Mark Pocan, where he says to somebody, you and your Golden Corral fat F buddy Mark Pocan do not seem to understand how far out of touch you are with everyday Americans. You people are culpable for Charlie Kirk's assassination. Here's another one where he pledges zero tax dollars. Here's one where he says, I don't think the SOBs, and he spells it all out, of course, that are celebrating this horrific crime have ever watched the movie The Unforgiven. They called the wind and they are about to reap the AI-empowered whirlwind. These people want a Nazi fascist country. We're not going to do that. These are all from a congressman. All right. Here's an F this terrorist referring to the show TMZ. When somebody asks, why are you surprised? Derek Van Orden reposts it and says, because they hate God. Here's one where he says to another journalist, you are directly culpable for this assassination and the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. I am not sure that you understand what you and your horrible people have done. Gloves are off, you effing mayonnaise person. And, more have come up. He's still going. Wow. I refreshed the screen and so many more have come up, calling people scum every chance he gets. more scum, more agreeing with people who called other people scum. And I know I have one or two others. Oh, nope, that one's just scum again. This one, you sowed the wind, you punk. Again, Derek Van Orden essentially threatening violence to other people. Here's more scum. He says of another group saying, this is the left, meaning the political left. This is the left. They are about to get a right, you know, as in a punch. All right, I hear some of you calling for mercy and saying, look, how long are you going to be reread? Are you just going to read Derek Van Orden's Twitter feed? In this particular case, yes. And, you know, it's something I've wanted to do for a long time, but I knew it wasn't going to necessarily make for great radio, except now in this kind of context. I mean, Derek Van Orden talks like this all the time, usually in drips and drabs, but occasionally these late night rants where he goes off in tens, if not dozens of tweets, calling people names. Not sometimes not directly, just reposting other people's things and referring to them as scum or using the F word for them. This is his primary constituency. These are the people he most wants to talk to and the people he most wants to please and the people he most wants to agitate. And you might say, well, he is just reacting very strongly to Charlie Kirk's murder. I believe it has gone further than that. This is no longer a man reacting or reacting angrily to the murder of a political figure that he agrees with. At some point, you are now using this killing for political purposes. You are politicizing what's going on, especially when you're continuing to want to agitate, sow division, and more or less encourage violence with all of the times that he essentially said, you know, that a punchback is coming in some way, shape, or form. Derek Van Orden was nowhere to be found in some of these other mass shootings that have happened and in political violence. He went so far as to do some inappropriate name calling after one particular political violent tragedy. And you all know this. If you listen to this show, we've talked about this. So why am I bringing it up again? Because so many of your neighbors don't. They see the softball coverage on local TV stations or the quick little write-ups in newspapers. And I'm not saying there's never been a hard-hitting story done on Derek Van Orden, but on the scale between bluff stories and journalism that tries to hold Derek Van Orden to account, the scales are not balanced at all. And some of it borders on stenography. Having seen what a member of Congress from Wisconsin has put out in less than 24 hours since an act of political violence in this country, I am again asking, challenging Wisconsin media to, first off, whenever he does pop up again, because he's not doing town hall, so whenever he does make another spontaneous appearance, if you're able to be there, I really hope your first question isn't about whatever it is he wants to talk about, but whether he thinks this is behavior befitting a member of Congress. Or don't wait for him to show up unexpectedly in your community and call the office right now. And frankly, a lot of his constituents could call the office right now or at some point during the day. I'd urge you to look up his Twitter feed just so that, you know, you have it in front of you. And that way they're not saying, well, you're just going off things that you heard. No, take a look at it. And then maybe call his office. And remember, the people who work in these offices, they are not the members of Congress. You do not need to unload on them. But you can make your point of view known and say, I would just like to know if the congressman thinks that this is the kind of behavior that he thinks is appropriate in the wake of an act of political violence. He knows better. He knows it's not, but he can't help himself. And those of you who are already fighting about this in the comment sections today, watching this program, you may as well take a step back. You know where we stand on this, and you can only throw sand for so long before we start hitting hide and delete buttons, like I wish somebody would have done a long time ago to Derek Van Orden. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Hunters, beware what you eat. Wisconsin health officials have issued a new consumption advisory for ducks harvested on Green Bay. Testing shows mallard and wood ducks on the bay are contaminated with toxic PFAS forever chemicals. UW-Madison researchers have linked contamination in the bay to Tyco fire products near Marinette. A key research center on the Mississippi River is falling prey to big federal cuts targeting science. The French Island facility, known as an ecosystem research area, produces information on water quality, invasive species, wildlife diseases, and more. Heavy cuts to the program take effect on October 1st and could effectively eliminate more than a century of scientific research. Knowledge is power. Right now on the Defender podcast, $150 million is available to help Wisconsinites upgrade their homes and cut energy use. Learn how to get started at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Does Donald Trump's big bill provide the largest federal spending cut in U.S. history? No. Spending cuts in the bill that Trump signed wouldn't be the largest ever, despite claims by Republican U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald. The original House version would have nominally cut over $1.6 trillion over 10 years. The final version cut even less, $1.2 trillion. With $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, the act will increase federal debt by a massive $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Nonpartisan analysts say the plan's cuts would rank behind a 2011 law's $2 trillion in spending cuts. As a percentage of GDP, it doesn't rank in the top 5%. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for the September 10th, 2025. Have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by our friend, John Gethers. John, good to see you again.
Good to see you, too.
Appreciate being here. And John's here to talk about an evening of harmony going on over with our friends over at Lincoln High School and this great workshop that is going on with this, along with the Newfangled Four. I want to get into the event itself, John, and talk a little bit about this. And we've done this before. What I'd like to do real quick is get into where this idea came from. And I know this is your second year doing something like this. Is that correct?
It is. Yep.
So when it comes to bringing an act like this to town, something along these lines, where does that begin?
Well, this actually kind of culminates out of the shows that we do for the Barbershop or Stevens Point Barbershoppers. When we bring in a good quartet like this, it's expensive. So I thought, hey, let's bring them in for an extra day, see if we can get some of the kids from the surrounding schools to come to Lincoln High School and have them do harmony workshops. So most of these harmony workshops will, you know, typically be like an hour long. Last year it was about 7. So we had some great quartets last year, including the Newfangled Four, and the kids love them so much. They made me promise to bring them back this year.
Right on. And they are very impressive. Incredible.
They're amazing. And they're actually amazing human beings as well. So
it adds up. You know, that's not surprising to hear, especially what I've seen of them online and then that and doing a little homework on these guys. Certainly, not only are they incredibly talented, but the way that they work with the audience, a lot of that you can see that they're just good people, you know, and they sound so darn good together. One of my favorite things about harmonizing is one that it seems like even people like me that can't sing can at least harmonize with somebody or at least, you know, not stand out too bad. It's where we affect the song or something. But
the lesson that it is, harmonizing and working with somebody else, playing off somebody else, all of those things. Those are life lessons right there. Those are things that you can take well beyond singing and work with in life. We talk about this with sports all the time and encouraging kids to be in athletics. Yeah, it's cool to see that kid go on to college or go on to the pros, but we know the percentages of that are very low. Right. The idea of the next barbershop quartet or what have you getting a huge record deal or something, the odds of that, we don't know. They're good or bad, whatever it is. But we do know that those skill sets, these things these kids learn in these workshops, they can take that skills to anything. They can take that to whatever industry they go into, working with others, collaborating, all of that stuff. That's no matter what industry you go into, that's business and that's things that you can apply to it.
Right. Music for me has been a huge part of my life. I attribute it to, saving my life as a kid. And just kind of making me who I am today. It's all about emotion, right? And to hear the Nakusa choir director tell me that the kids were so pumped up to go says something, right? Because nowadays you can't even get these kids out of their bedrooms.
Right, right, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, hey, my 16-year-old junior comes down and I thought maybe I saw him yesterday and he's got a mustache. Right?
So, I didn't even know. Yeah, it's been that long.
Yeah. So, and that's part of this whole workshop thing, right? If we're able to, bring a style of music, not just harmony, which is a huge, a barbershop is a subset. So we bring in the barbershoppers, we teach the kids just the camaraderie between the different schools. What we did last year was a miracle. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. It's never been done, right?
It's impressive.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. And we actually had the Manitowoc Barbershop chapter email me the other day wanting to come to Lincoln to see what we're doing.
Awesome.
So it's gaining traction. And, Wisconsin Rapids used to have such a robust and such a rich, barbershop
It had a presence. It had a barbershop presence. It was something that I even know when I first came to this town, hearing about things like that. So I know what you're talking about. Bringing some of that back is wonderful for a lot of reasons, some we've mentioned already. And bringing in an act like this and a performance like this, we could talk for hours on the economic impact it makes and how much it helps out the whole community and that. And that's, key, and don't want anybody to skate past that. But there is another, just as important impact that this has, because not only is it entertaining people, giving these kids an example and all that, but it's also helping the Lincoln High School Choir Department, as funds will be helping that, going to help the department.
Right, yep. This at least the concert portion of it.
Right, right.
That'll help cover the fee for the day. And then the rest goes right to Lincoln High School.
Yeah, and which is it makes a big impact, and no matter even if our schools were doing great as far as funds and everything, this would be added and appreciated. Let alone how it is in today's day and age. Every penny counts. Every bit helps. And anytime we can help our teachers, our education system, in doing these things is a great opportunity. It's a true win-win. When you go, you get to have a good time, and while you're enjoying these great musicians and this great music, in the back of your head, in the front of your heart, knowing, I'm also helping my community. I'm also adding to the betterment of my community. You're literally investing in the future. That's what you're doing by helping out anything involving our education system.
Absolutely. I went to school to be a music teacher, right? And in my fourth year, they started cutting funding for arts in the schools. So I changed tracks. And now you look at the teachers, and they're taking money out of their own pocket just to put signs up on the walls, right? That's not really fair.
No.
So this is something that I thought, hey, the main goal was to, get those kids singing in harmony, really bring in barbershop, and just camaraderie. And then, we made a little bit of money last year, so we donated it to the choir. And I thought, hey, if we can put some more butts in the seats, right, and really make this successful, it could change the trajectory of this art form in Rapids schools.
And whatever art form, whatever kind of thing we're talking about, and we see this a lot with even our, you know, some of our sub sports. You know, we've heard a lot in recent years about ATV use and stuff and getting young kids doing those because we've seen a lack of that. We've seen other industries where we're seeing people, hey, get young people involved. Their brains are sponges. They take this stuff in. And so much of what we're... And any.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you...
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Have a few fall-seeded crops that you're looking at? Remember, September 30th, a key deadline. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. We'll explain that deadline and why you need to pay attention to it coming up.
At the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, they know your business has always been something special. Now you can let customers know it too, in an instant, with the red and yellow Something Special from Wisconsin sticker. Joining the program gives you access to supplier and distribution information, marketing support, and a community of like-minded Wisconsin businesses. Best of all, you'll let people know that your work is done with care, quality, and love. You've always been something special. Visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to make it official.
We haven't started the harvest yet, but most people would estimate that we've got a pretty good crop coming in Wisconsin. That's a relief for Patricia Swanson. She's the administrator of USDA's Risk Management Agency, and she says, so far in 2025, Wisconsin's looked pretty good, but the harvest has yet to unfold.
I know it was a cool, wet spring for Wisconsin, and surprisingly, though, the claims were minimal. I think for Prevent Plant, there was a total of 9,200 acres that were prevented from being planted due to cold, wet weather and excessive moisture. But if you look at that overall, that's only 1% of your crops planted in Wisconsin. So pretty minimal, really, for the spring that we had. A lot of farmers were able to get crops planted in that window. You know, of course, the harvest will tell the story and what the effects had on our yields, and especially if we would get an early frost. That's always a concern.
Patricia Swanson, she's the administrator of USDA's Risk Management Agency and a farmer herself. She also reminds anybody that's planning to do fall crops, make sure that you're talking to your crop insurance agent before September 30th to guarantee that you are in compliance for coverage. Markets are next.
Farmers and ranchers across the country trust Can-Am because of how they build, support, and stand behind their machines. Now they're backing that trust with even more. Get 24 months of coverage when you purchase select Defender and Outlander models through the Can-Am Agricultural and Business Program. That's how confident they are in the durability of their units. That's not all. You also get a rebate up to $3,500. Give your fleet the upgrade it deserves. Visit the Can-Am website to learn more about the program. Offer ends October 31st. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Barrel cheese dropped a half yesterday to 167.5, while 40-pound block cheese gained 0.75 cents, 167.25, and AA butter dropped 196.5 per pound. October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning's down a penny, 16.55. December corn is up a penny at 4.18. November soybeans up a nickel, 10.30. December wheat unchanged at 5.15 a bushel. That's just a quick snapshot on the markets so far on a Thursday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some areas of fog through mid-morning, otherwise partly sunny skies and a beautiful September day with highs in the mid-70s. For tonight, patchy fog developing late, otherwise partly cloudy, low of 52. Warmer on Friday, mostly sunny, a high of 79. Right now, it's 60 degrees.
Have you thanked a farmer today? Wisconsin's nearly 59,000 farms contribute over $116 billion annually to our state's economy and over 350,000 jobs. Please join the University of Wisconsin as we host our 12th annual Celebrate Agriculture game on September 20th against Maryland. Sponsored by Cleary Building Corp, Culver's, Case IH, and Compeer Financial. Thank you to our sponsors for making the Celebrate Agriculture game possible.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans.
So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Maggie Dawn.
I've got a little personal business to attend to, but don't worry. We've got a special re-airing of Girls Rock and then a best of curated just for you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
News is a separate entity from Civic Media, but we sure appreciate this partnership that we get to do every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. But you can follow my team over at upnorthnewswi.com. Sign up for our newsletters there, including the weekday edition and the Sunday morning politics edition that I put together. Again, we'd love to have you as a subscriber, upnorthnewswi.com. A dense fog advisory is out until at least 9 o'clock for much of the western half of Wisconsin. So take it easy out there on the roads. And again, forecast updates throughout the day on your local Civic Media radio network station. I really like doing segments like the one we're about to start here with Brian Kennedy, because first as a reporter and then an elected official at the state level, and now in my capacity here, I could not possibly express enough admiration for the people who run for local office. I got my start covering county boards in Eau Claire County and Chippewa County, the Chippewa City Council. And then I've been to more county board, town board, village board meetings than I could possibly count over the years, either covering them as a reporter or speaking as an elected official. It is thankless work, and yet people continue to do it because of a certain level of satisfaction and service they give to their communities. So having said all that, perhaps you might be interested in running for local office and want to know where to begin. I got a guy for that from suburban Milwaukee. Let's head down to Glendale and talk to Mayor Brian Kennedy, who's also president of the group Democratic Municipal Officials. NationalDMO.org is the website. I'll put that up on screen on social media in just a bit here. Mayor Brian Kennedy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm doing great. How are you this morning?
That's good. Good to see you. It's been a while. Yeah. It's great to talk to you, and especially about this particular subject. I mean, I of course have now expressed my admiration for local officials. You're one of them, but I'm sure you would agree with the concept of people serving in their hometowns and what it is that you appreciate about them.
Yeah, you know, running for local office is basically because you want to serve your community. There's really not, for most of us, this is a part-time gig. You know, we all have day jobs, but we feel like there's a way that we can give back to our community. You know, most people don't understand that when you run for school board or you run for city council or run for mayor, that, you know, you're basically saying, I'm going to give up my nights and weekends to try and serve my community, and I'm really not going to get paid very much for it. You know, when I first ran for this position, Mayor Glendale paid about $5,000. You know, my wife was like, why are you taking a job that pays a dollar an hour? Because that's what it felt like, as much time as I gave back to the community. But, you know, there's a lot of good that we can do, and there's a lot of great opportunities to help shape what your community will become in the next 10 or 15 or 20 years by decisions that are made today.
And I will, from a political standpoint, I'm going to put it this way. We need all kinds of folks who are willing to run for local office, and you do not have to be a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat or a dyed-in-the-wool Republican to serve in local office. The vast majority of all of us are correctly described as somewhere in the center left to center right part of the spectrum. Yep. But if people in that very large part of the spectrum don't serve, then that creates a vacuum for people on the fringes to get in. And I know, Brian, you've seen the danger on school boards and other places where the only person who runs is somebody who, shall we say, service is not exactly their primary motive.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, one of the reasons why in Wisconsin our local elected offices are all nonpartisan is because there really isn't a Democratic way to pave a road or a Republican way to pick up the garbage. We're talking about providing services to our community that involve, for example, making sure you have clean drinking water, making sure that the parks are well maintained so you have a place to take your kids or your grandkids to play, making sure that our schools have the funding they need so that, you know, their libraries are well stocked, their class sizes are small enough that the teachers can meet the needs of all of our, of the students in the classroom. You know, we're not talking about setting, you know, agendas that are necessarily partisan. But the thing I've noticed, and one of the reasons I got involved with Democratic Municipal Officials, or DMO, is that the people, it seems like, whose political philosophies are about serving their community and wanting to give back are more often than not on the left or the center left. You know, we don't necessarily engage in this because we've got some great agenda. We just want to make sure everybody, there's a place for everybody, everybody feels included, and that people's needs are met. And so that's why I think you see so many of, you know, Donald Trump goes after the Democrat cities. But I think you see so many of our municipal offices being held by Democrats across the country. It's because our natural inclination is to create community and to create a space for everyone and to meet people's needs.
Yeah. Another way to put it would be, you know, service driven. And you and I have both met and befriended people who are to our political right, who are amazing people because they have that service component about them. Again, we're not going to agree on everything. We're not supposed to agree on everything. We're supposed to work together, but you only work together if people with differing opinions still at least have service as one of their central values. And if people go, why do you keep doing this? Why do you engage in politics, talk in politics, serve in politics? Brian, it's because I genuinely see those people, and I know you still do today, people you don't always agree with, but there are just so many good people who want to serve their hometowns.
No, absolutely. You know, years ago, I made friends when I was the State American Federation of Teachers president, and I made friends on the other side of the aisle in the legislature. I now serve on the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District Commission with a good friend who was a Republican member of the State Assembly. And we, you know, in terms of, you know, developing our policies around, you know, how are we managing stormwater runoff? How are we making sure that we're, you know, reclaiming the water before and fully cleaning it before it gets returned to Lake Michigan? You know, we're on the same page. We're about serving. You know, so Jeff Stone, who, you know, I didn't always agree with when he was in the legislature, you know, was a Republican member of the assembly. He and I now serve and sit next to each other at the MMSD meetings, and we're on the same page about serving the community. And you're right, there are people in both parties. But I would say DMO finds itself with a very large audience because I think you just see a lot more of that service component from people who are about building community and not necessarily about pushing through some sort of an agenda.
We are talking to Glenda Mayor Brian Kennedy, talking about Democratic Municipal Officials, the group. Their website is nationaldmo.org. And in looking at the website, Brian, I mean, there's no shortage of trainings out there and seminars and other things for people thinking about going into, you know, politics or public service in some way, shape or form. And yet you guys, you're giving it away. You're put right there on the website. It says, you know, here is a campaign starter kit, and you click on it and up comes a 5-page Google Doc of things to keep in mind. So, I mean, I can't imagine a better place. I'm not saying it's one-stop shopping, but this sure looks like it should be the first stop for somebody interested in running for office.
Certainly. And so it's funny, Wisconsin Democratic Party has probably the best outreach for local folks that want to run for office. You can get so much help and assistance from our state party that most state parties in the country do not have. And that's where National DMO comes in. And what we offer is essentially for those people in all those states that where their state party just isn't really equipped to offer them the resources to build a local campaign. We offer free resources. Our goal here, we recognize if you're running for school board, you're probably running on a budget of $500 to run a campaign. That's some yard signs and some door hangers, right? And then you and your friends are going to go out and knock doors together. So we've tried to help at DMO to how do we put together the right kind of trainings and the right kind of resources that we can offer to Democrats who want to run for local office. And that's even if you're running for a nonpartisan office like we do here in Wisconsin. You know, I'm still a member of the Democratic Party. And so anybody who is a Democrat who wants to run for local office has access to this training, the training materials that we have. What I would say, this summer, we did something we've never done before. We offered an all-day candidate camp. So we collaborated with the DNC training department, and on a Saturday in July, we had a 7-hour training where we essentially walk through all the different aspects of how do you put together your messaging? How do you build a database of supporters? How do you fundraise? How do you talk to people at the doors? You know, what should your website look like? What kind of things should you focus on? And we went through a whole day of training. We had 545 people from across the country register. We'd never seen anything like that before. And even some of the reddest places like Kentucky and Tennessee, I mean, 545 people, 15% of the people who registered were from two of the reddest states in the country. So we're making significant outreach to teach people how to run for local office and to recognize that it's not that hard. It just seems daunting if you've never been a part of the political space before. And so we've tried to create these very user-friendly, easy materials, trainings that have been recorded you can watch, and a whole bunch of other resources, including even access to vendors that will charge a congressional or a gubernatorial campaign a whole lot of money, offering free or almost free services if you're running for local office, because they recognize we're building a bench here.
Yeah. And on the website, you can find things like getting your campaign started, creating a logo and building your website, and how to get started on fundraising and voter contact and mail and email programs and merchandise and even polling. And again, connecting to other folks, like you said, maybe your state Democratic Party or others. As you look back now, Brian, and I forget how long you've been involved in public service here, but if you could go back and talk to yourself as a very first-time candidate, is there one thing that you would tell yourself that you to do differently or to focus on more or to sweat about less?
Yes. Don't look to national messaging when you're running for local office. Talk to your neighbors, talk to the parents of your kids' friends, talk to people at the grocery store, knock some doors, find out what people actually think. One of the things I think we have seen far too often is we have this national messaging machine that tries to tell Democrats what they need to say. And the real answers here, honestly, are found at the local level. Because if I talk to my neighbors in Glendale, it's going to be different than if you're talking to your neighbors in Chippewa Falls, right? We have different local concerns. And so I would say listen to those people and craft a message for your specific campaign that is very local. And I did want to add one other thing about DMO. DMO isn't just about getting elected. We have two sides to this organization. Once you are a municipal official, we actually have a policy arm that combines with National League of Cities, with National School Board Association, where we hold events and we hold trainings, where we share best practices across the country. So policy language that might be implemented, in a suburb of New York City, I might find in one of these trainings and say, hey, that would be really great for Glendale. And then, somebody who is on a city council in suburban Kansas City might say, hey, I want to take that same language. So we do share best practices across the board. DMO wants to help you get elected. And then once you're elected, wants to help you be effective when you're in office. But the thing is, while we look at those national ideas, you still have to tailor them to your own specific municipality and the messaging that works in your community.
Yeah, you're not running to be a Donald Trump light or Barack Obama light or anything like that. This is as hometown service as it gets. And that's why there are all these resources that are put forth by Democratic municipal officials at nationaldmo.org. Again, nationaldmo.org. And Brian Kennedy, the mayor of Glendale down there in the Milwaukee area, is the national president of the group, and was kind enough to join us today to talk about getting your thoughts together about maybe running for office. Brian, thank you. It's always great to connect with you. Thanks for sharing all these resources. Hope you have a great day.
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate you having me on your show.
You bet. Anytime. And again, nationaldmo.org is the website address. Coming up in our 8 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Sean O'Malley about your money in the markets, Joe Zepecki about some of the big headlines of the day. Chad Holmes will tell us what he's following from our civic media station in the Wausau area. That's all coming up after the 8 o'clock news. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Or it's an opportunity and another excuse almost to come on down.
It's so fun. We have people that come on Friday and they're like, I had to bring my sister. I'm coming back. And it's great.
Yeah,
we love
they're
that.
On Saturday, yep. Bringing a bunch of other people. That's always the biggest compliment when I see people come 2 days in a row. I'm like, they must have a good time. They didn't mm-hmm. come here just because... they wanted a dozen eggs, you know. Mm-hmm.
It's a great atmosphere over there. We're looking forward to, I'm really excited about you guys getting to celebrate 79 years.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I know. We feel really grateful for the community and, you know, our father and our grandfather who, you know, started it. So it's like an anniversary for us, but really a thank you to the community as well. Mm-hmm. So definitely. Thanks for that. Sure. We want to highlight one more event we have on the calendar.
This just got put on
as of yesterday.
This might be the first public announcement.
Breaking news over here. So we have a new product and company we're working with called Wellbell. And Lori is one of the owners of Wellbell. And she's going to be doing a presentation on October. It's a Wednesday, October 8th. And it's at 5:15 at the store. So it's their product line is really focused on like beauty, hair, skin, nails is their mm-hmm. main focus. Hair in particular is where they've had a lot of success with it. But hair, skin, nails, all of that, it's a beauty line. There's just a couple of SKUs. So there's like a women's line, a women's plus, and then a men's line.
A really effective supplement. So when people say beauty, it could be like, you know, there's like whole stores that are beauty products, makeup, etc. This isn't a makeup product, nothing like that. It's all natural supplement. And it's formulated by a doctor, a medical doctor who has, I think it was a naturopathic degree as well, or specialization. And Lori and her sister worked with this doctor to bring this product and to the market, basically. And she's so passionate about it because it's not only helped her with her own hair, family members, people that she's known that have had cancer, for example, you know, there's a lot of hair loss with cancer treatment. It's helped people, you know, regenerate their hair after a cancer treatment. You know, a lot of different
skin health too, like, you know, like some like cystic acne. She's had people have had success with that too.
We were just talking to her yesterday and you could just really feel her passion. And, it's so nice that she lives in the community, at least half the year anyways. Mm-hmm. And she's, very passionate about it. So that Katrina and I were struck by her passion and stuff. So we brought in her product pretty much as soon as she was telling us about it. And she's, they have some new products coming out too. So their signature line, which, who was it? Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yeah. She was just mentioning that
is a, like
she doesn't won't... get any money for it, but she talks all day, every day about the product because she's had such
success. She won't get on a plane without it, apparently. Like she takes this product every day. So like it's a really successful product. It sounds like it's mostly sold at like clinics, spas,
beauty spas,
stuff like that. But you know, Lori, because she loves our health food store, which is very sweet of her. She's like, I want it to be sold here. So, and Katrina are like, we loved Lori. So we're like, it worked out great. But it's a brand new product and we're excited to have her come talk about it. She's also launching, a shampoo and conditioner, line to go along with this. It's not out yet. It hopefully will be by the time she's here for the talk or we'll maybe do pre-orders for it at the talk, but that's going to be a really great product to go with it. So anybody who really wants to, you know, get fuller, healthier hair.
Or the Well-Bell bounce, they say, which your hair bounces like a little bit more. We all want a little more
James,
bounce.
James, you got to grow your hair out again if you want that.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. This product is making me think about it. I love that we're in a day and age where we can do these things. We have this ability. It almost feels like nobody has to go bald that doesn't want to in these things. That's a wonderful thing right there. And I think great as far as mental health and all that. You bring up cancer patients, and it was my first thought when you talked about this product, the ability to be able to help in that regard. And we talk such a good game about mental health. We sometimes skate past these things. Oh, it's just hair. If you haven't been in that position, you don't know what that's like. And what that can mean to somebody, especially a cancer survivor or somebody fighting cancer, and how what that little bit of motivation it can give them, or that little bit of good feeling or something, or when they look in the mirror, they're not as hesitant to look. You know, nobody deserves to feel that way. These products are incredibly helpful in that regard. That's really cool to hear. That's a great one. Yeah. And good to hear you guys are back in that. I also really appreciate the backstory of it and you guys sharing that with us.
Yeah, that's fun.
And very interesting. That's cool to hear.
There's so many stories like that at our store. And we've, you know, been on the radio countless times telling a lot of those stories. But that is kind of like what keeps Katrina and I really motivated at work a lot of times is these stories with the companies that we work with. And then the stories we get from the customers in our community. It's really motivating for us.
It's a great product. What is the name again?
It's called Well-Bell and it's a, you know, wonderful supplement line for hair, skin, nails, etc. And the presentation will be on October 8th at 5:15. And that is a Wednesday, October 8th at 5:15. So come learn.
Yeah. Mark that on the calendars, everybody. Mm-hmm. And be sure to check that out when Stephen and Katrina from Family Natural Foods host that presentation. No, we had some other things we wanted to touch on. And I guess I'm going to be doing some sampling here.
I think we should sample.
Yeah.
Is it that time? Sample.
Let's shake it up a little bit.
Yes.
We're going to shake it up. So we also have some sales going on. And this company happens to be, their whole line is on sale this month. It's Trace Minerals. So Trace Minerals has their original formula. Well, let me go backwards.
They've been around a long time.
They've been around for a long time.
Yeah.
They've been around. They've been the ones in the game doing minerals for years. They're out of Utah. They're good. I mean, as a kid, I remember the bottle sitting on our counter. So they've been doing it for quite a while. And
what's unique about and why Katrina mentioned Utah is there's the Great Salt Lake. Mm-hmm. It's this inland lake that's got so much salt in it that when you go in the water, you float. Like it's almost kind of hard to like dunk yourself in the lake because the salt level and the mineral level is so high. So their signature product has always been just this broad spectrum mineral supplement. They reduce the salt or basically eliminate it. So there's not a lot of salt in the product. And then they concentrate all these minerals. I think it's like 50 different.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Vigils across the country for a conservative influencer assassinated at an event at Utah Valley University. This man remembered outside the Orem Hospital where Charlie Kirk was taken after he was shot in the neck.
I think he represented it the best of what's in our country in regards to freedom of speech, being able to speak and say and speak your mind. Those types of things.
Former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy tells CBS Mornings.
His rule of thumb was, if you disagree with me, you get to come to the front of the line. It's what we crave, that you can have debate on a campus.
The search for the shooter continues. Correspondent Carter Evans is near the scene of the crime.
Law enforcement sources tell CBS News they believe the shot was fired from the nearby Losi Center rooftop, and they're searching for an individual in dark clothing.
The FBI's field office has set up an online form for the public to submit tips. CBS News